Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Welcome in, everybody, to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. And I am joined by a very special guest here from the Denver Nuggets themselves, the Nuggets digital team. It is my friend Matt Brooks, at Matt Brooks NBA on the old Twitter sphere. Matt, thank you so much, man, for hopping in. Really appreciate you taking the time, dude.
Hey, thanks. I'm excited to be back. I always laugh when people say, oh, from the Denver Nuggets, like I'm a two-way player or something. All right. For
yeah, man. Hey. Like, you're a tall guy. You're a tall lad. You're like 6'1", 6'2"?
A waste of height, honestly. I'm not a good watch for actually playing basketball. I went and shot around like the other month, and it was honestly atrocious. Like, I did not know somebody could shoot that left. That consistently, like just constantly up the rim, it's an atrocity. That's why I write words. You know, I'm living through NBA players because my lord, I can't play basketball.
That's awesome, man. But it sounds like a personal problem, though. Sounds like something that you it's always going left. So look, it is what it is. It's look, we're. We are here. We're vibing. Matt and I, we always like to have fun at the arenas when the Nuggets come together, when they play as often as they do. Matt's always a good hang. He's always fun. He's got some great takes, and I hope everybody is following Matt for some of the video content that he puts out and also some of the statistical content that he puts out from these games. It's always fun to chat with Matt, and he's got some great insight. The old asshole that I initially thought he was going to be, he turns out is a pretty good guy.
That's still my favorite story, that you were just like, I don't like this guy.
Man, I never like fully assume on anybody. And so that was abnormal. That really was, like, I couldn't believe it, but we're having a grand old time. So I appreciate you for stopping by, man. Matt actually just did a Twitter spaces with D-Mac, who's vibing out with the Nuggets as well over the course of these past couple months. No, you're a busy guy, man. And I know you've got another pod tomorrow. So, Sorry, I know you've got another pod tomorrow as well. Yeah. So like, I'm glad to get you on some of your time. No, it's all good. But hey, I appreciate you for stopping by. We're going to talk about the Nuggets. We're going to talk about the win last night. We're going to talk about the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic just putting on a show once again. It's been a lot of fun to watch Nikola Jokic and watching him when he's actually having a good time. Way better. It's way better after he's a little bit refreshed after the All-Star break for sure. Denver obviously wins last night, 130-110, coming back from a three-game losing streak right before the All-Star break. I didn't know how they would approach things. I kind of assumed that they'd hit the ground running, but you just never know sometimes. No, they hit the ground running last night, Matt. What was your favorite thing about just the way that they performed coming out of the break?
Oh, man. Like, what didn't go well? I'll say this. Man, everybody looked athletic. There were, like, 10 blocks, the dunks, full court passes. That was a team that looked like they needed the break, and they came out feeling refreshed. It was cool. That was a fun game. You know, you look at the schedule. Yeah, it's like the first game out of the break, but you're playing a team that's 9-45, and you're like, I don't know what this game is going to be like. I'm assuming the Nuggets are going to win, but is it going to be, like, a really conclusive win, or is this going to be kind of like a slog? I mean, you got everything in that game. You got a great MPJ game. Jamal was really good. Yoke obviously made history last night. Christian Brown got his first double-double. Zeke had four blocks and was switching. Like, even down to garbage time was fun. The last 2 minutes, I don't know if anybody was still watching at this point. Zeke had a turnaround.
You know, it wasn't even that one that got me. Jay Huff putting on some wheels. That dude was awesome in garbage time. He looked great. And so it's very rare for the game to be kind of fun throughout, but I was enjoying myself. I was having a grand old time. And that's just what you want to see from a team. Like, 9-45 sounds like a fake number. That sounds like a fake record that you just gave to me about the Wizards, but that is actually true. And they played like it. The first like few possessions of the fourth quarter, they quite literally turned it over every single time. And it was mostly unforced, completely insane. And they are horrible. Like, that's probably my biggest takeaway from last night, more so than anything that the Nuggets like really could have done. Like, it would have been hard for the Nuggets to win by any less than like 15, but still, like, they performed, they put on a show, and then the Wizards definitely helped them.
Yeah, I would say, like, I'd caution getting any really hard takes to this game. I think you could be like, hey, this was really encouraging what you saw from Christian and Zeke, and, like, that's what you want to see going forward. I think it's cool to see as the just kind of watch for rotations, I guess, a little bit as you get into the season. But, yeah, I mean, the Wizards, they had that possession or what was it? They called a timeout, and then they immediately turned it over on the timeout, and there was another timeout. I'm like, wow, you rarely see that. The double timeout in like 20 seconds. It was pretty tough. The thing is, I like, you know, like, they got some good players on that roster. It's just kind of like, it makes you realize how talented the league is now. If you don't have, like, even like you take Charlotte Hornets have LaMelo, like, that stuff matters so much. Those teams without that, like, you know, for sure number one guy. I like Tyus Jones. I like Denny Avija. I like Kyle Kuzma. There's a bunch of guys I like on the roster, but it's like, it's really hard, I think, especially in today's league with how many talented number one options there are. It's tough to remain competitive if you kind of, that changes night to night for you a little bit.
How about Jordan Poole getting benched before last night's game?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, man, like the Jordan Poole of 2022 was a really awesome watch. It's been a weird year with that. I don't know. It's remarkable to watch in a way. It's a very different player. Yeah. I'll put it that way. That's remarkable to watch.
Some of the shots that he was firing up last night, and some of the shots that he got blocked on last night was insane. He's going through it. You don't want to kick a guy while he's down, but he's clearly down right now. And the Nuggets took advantage. They took advantage of the team that is clearly down. This was a nice warm-up game, I think, coming out of the break for Denver, where you get to stretch your legs a little bit. You get to have a little bit of fun. This is not one of those ones where it's a grind and you're although Marvin Bagley and some of those guys, like Kyle Kuzma being very physical, like, those guys were playing hard. There's no question in my mind that they were trying. And yet, like, like I said, it was just hard for Denver to not win by 15 with the way that they were playing, even though they didn't shoot exactly well.
Yeah.
Lots of guys played, as you mentioned, like Jamal played great. Michael played great. Mm-hmm. Aaron played pretty well. I'd say that there were some weird plays with Aaron, like trying to kick out from under the rim sometimes. But which of those guys really stood out? We'll save Jokic for the second segment. Which of those other starters stood out the most?
Jamal, to me. I thought just Jamal, like the way he was moving, how decisive is not the word I want, but like just the way he was so like keyed in on, oh, cool, I got Tyus Jones on me, I'm posting him up. His midi was just like perfect the whole night. He just looked like physically really good, and he played rested. Like it just, that was the guy that jumped to me, and I wasn't sure. Like Mike had it going early, and I'm like, oh, Mike looks really good. But it was to me Jamal's consistency throughout the entire game. Oh yeah, happy birthday to Jamal today.
He's 27. He and I are the same age, couple months apart.
To me that was the guy that kind of stuck out for me. You just always can tell when Jamal's like got that rhythm. He's got that spring in his step. He was really, really good to me.
He's one of those guys that you can really notice it pretty quickly when his legs are under him, when he's feeling pretty good. And he tried to get up for a couple baskets around the rim and was trying to cram on a couple times and just looked really good with his burst. And like there were some good defensive plays that he had, just kind of stonewalling a couple guys. And the pass that he picked off that was full court where he's sprinting back in transition and just picking that one off. It's those kind of detail plays that you start keying in on the change of direction and the athleticism a little bit. Although I did notice there was one moment during the game where he was sitting on the scorer's table, like trying to catch his breath a little bit. And it was relatively early within his stint. So I wonder if he's trying to get off his feet a little bit, just mid game, just to relieve some of the stress on the shins that he's been putting on. But so I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's fully back, but he looked good.
Yeah. He looked really good to me. Anytime he's getting downhill, I'm like, oh, we got a good Jamal game, putting jelly on layups. Like it was, you could just tell Jamal is, I always feel like Jamal is somebody you can tell within like the first 5 minutes, kind of like what you're looking at that night to me. But that's
a good point. Like,
Although I guess that's not true, because in the playoffs he would like, there was games, I want to say it was like in the Minnesota series where he started like a little slow. I'm not one of these people that like is like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, game one about 20 minutes. I'm throwing general. I'm hoping it's the Minnesota series, but I think it was the Minnesota series where it was like he had a slow start the first half and then he kind of comes out in the second half. So maybe that's not correct, but I just generally this year I feel like I've gotten a pretty good sense for like how he's going to play based on the first couple of minutes. So
it's nice to see though. Like he's one of those guys that Denver's obviously going to need, and you're not going to win a championship if Jamal's not going to be at his best. So you want to see him going the right direction as often as possible. Quickly on Mike and Aaron, Mike looked good, especially at the beginning. There were some reads that he was making out of the pick and roll, just dumping the ball off.
Totally agree.
Short roll. That one I was like, okay, that caught my eye. That was very interesting. And like, I'd love to see them kind of get into that a little bit more, especially early on in a game where you're just like, hey, let's take the burden off of Jamal early on in this game. Let's have Mike do some playmaking and try to grow a little bit. That was interesting.
Yeah, he came off that handoff and he stopped it about the elbow. I thought it was going to be a pull-up, which is fine. Like, that's a shot he's comfortable with. But he, like, draws to and he took that extra second and hit Jokic. And it's like a pass, like, 3 feet to his left. Like, you know, it's not a pass where he's, like, throwing it through the wickets. But it was just, like, such an – I know Malone said after the game, like, it was a basketball play. And that's what it was. It was like it was like the first couple of minutes he did that. And he had another one later, but that was the one I really remember because it was like the timing on that was perfect. And that was so much like you're playing within the flow of the game. You're kind of letting it come to you. I'm like throwing out every cliche on the planet right now for basketball, but he did. Like it was like every cliche ever. It was everything that Mike was doing in that moment. So really good game. I like the floater. The floater has been, I like it. It's a good shot for him. I
do not like the floater.
I like it. He's up to 45. Why not?
So here's where I will push back on it. There was one possession later in the game where Jokic did rebound the miss. It wasn't a big deal. But there are times where Mike, like when he gets somebody on his back and he's got a 2-on-1 going downhill, he can manipulate that and use the fact that he's 6'10 with a high release and drop it off to Jokic a little bit more consistently than what he's looking for. That is the playmaking leap that I am looking for as he continues to go forward. And then also, like, you're 6'10". You can get all the way to the rim. Like, especially if you've got Jokic right there. Keep putting pressure on it. Don't bail out the defense by shooting a floater, even if it's good, because you could turn that into a 65% shot at the rim. That would be, in my opinion, the better way to go. Although, look, that is a playoff thing where you save your body for that. So I'm not really critical here, but there are some things like it is a step in the right direction for the in-between game that he has lacked for a long time.
Yeah, here's why I like it, because I think you wanna, like, you can use the regular season to tinker with that. And even if that means, like, all right, I'm taking this floater maybe in situations where I shouldn't, you're just getting in-game reps. I think if you can kind of build out from there. But I see your point. I do think, like, rim touches are going to be really important for this team and every single team. Like, you want to get all the way to the basket. He's 6'10". I get it. I like it. I like that he's been able to, like, take it confidently. And I think there's always going to be, like, a little bit of a balance with that. Like, yes, you want to get reps. You want to do that. But you also want to find the, like, right shots for yourself. But I like it. I've liked that he did it a little bit in – end of the series against the Heat. I want to say like game 5, he took it a couple of times. I liked it then, and that was my first, like, oh, that would be a cool shot for Mike. Like, if that's something that he could work into his arsenal and make it more consistent. And so I've been a fan of it. I don't care what the numbers say. I'm going pure Hooper eyes right here. I like it.
Breaking it out in game 5 of the NBA Finals like a real Hooper. That's always it. What we do.
Come on.
That's funny. Three guys that we got to hit on before we hit a break: Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, Zeke Nnaji. Mm-hmm. Which of those guys stood out the most for the right reasons?
I'm going to go with Christian because of the rebounding, and he had this play early on where he caught it. Like, I think Yoke threw it to him he was in the right corner. And he caught it, and it wasn't like sometimes he'll catch and like hesitate for a second. It wasn't that. Like, he was covered. Like, the guy closed out well to the corner, and he like ripped through and took this little, like, I don't know if it was like a Euro or what the technical term for it was, but it was this really nice finish and hook shot. And it was funny, he was like working on those before the games. That was a really good play. I think those types of shots where he's getting run off the line from the corner and kind of coming to the basket at a direction, like that angle, those have been a little trickier for him. That was, to me, like his best finish I've seen maybe this year. It was just like a really, really controlled, confident play. But the rebounding was great too. I mean, he's just coming in from the weak side. Like, look, like if guys aren't going to guard you when you're at the perimeter, like, crash, go ahead. So really good game from him.
I like that play, and I know exactly the one that you're talking about. What really stood out about it was, like you said, control is one word. It's almost like the slow step that somebody like a Luka or a Jokic kind of throws, where you change the pace just a little bit. And that's so much of the problem that Christian has had so far in his career, where when he's trying to drive off the rim, he's trying to use his athleticism and his speed to get the edge like you would in college, because very few people could keep up with that level of athlete. But the difference at the NBA level is everybody's that level of athlete. So you have to be crafty and creative and do the things that the defense is not expecting just to create separation. And that one was such a great example of that, because it created just enough for him to get into a comfortable place where he could shoot. Well, it was like a 4-foot, 5-foot hook shot or something like that. And that's exactly what you're going for. That's exactly what you need from the dude. And it's not that hard. It's something that you've got to practice. It's something that you've got to be willing to go to and try. But I like him going to that rather than just crashing to the rim, because too often he's been called for charges, or teams blocked his shot, or he's just a little bit out of control trying to go so fast. So I really like that. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, it was cool. And I it was funny, like Peyton, fellow sophomore, talked about that in practice. I don't know if you were there. You might have been sick that day. No, you
I was Thursday, missing right? on that day.
You missed it? Okay.
No, I was on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday I was there.
Yeah, whenever Peyton spoke, he talked about like, I'm learning, I don't have to go so fast. And that was something we saw like a little bit in transition early in the year. He would just like fly at the rim, which is great. Like Peyton's super fast. But he mentioned, he was like, I'm learning, and I've learned, like, even when I'm going slower, I'm still really fast. Like, I'm faster than most guys. And I think that's something in these last 26 games, Peyton, to his credit, has done a good job of that. That's something, if Christian can continue to do that, I think that's a huge, huge growth point. And something that I think will be used and leaned on a lot, because there will be a lot of those possessions in the playoffs where you do need to make those decisions, run off the line. Or even just creating something out of nothing a little bit. Those situations will be there.
There's no doubt about it. Peyton, 4 blocks. Zeke, 4 blocks. Those guys both looked great defensively. Some of the blocks that Peyton had, just like out of nowhere, catching up with the dude, doing crazy things from a timing perspective and making the hustle plays that get the crowd going. Like that dude, he's going to be a great defender for a long time. I'm growing to expect it a little bit more. And these are the situations where, I mean, he's young now, but he's going to know, okay, I can hunt against this team, or I can hunt against that matchup, or things of that nature. So he's going to learn that really, really quickly. And then Zeke, like just a really nice bounce back performance from him. I'm just very, very impressed. There's a level of poise that you have to have. Just entering that situation. And obviously this was not a tough matchup. He was going against Rashawn Holmes for half the time. And Eugene Amarui, who was giving Jokic buckets.
Hey, half respect the time. Him. He was good. I thought he was good.
He was might've been the best player on the floor. PJ Tucker. A wild statement.
He was the PJ Tucker of the Wizards. I was impressed.
He looked good.
He's going to be my do-up Reef. Like, everybody was on him early. Oh. This is my two-way guy. I'm locking in on him. Like, this guy's going to be good. I don't know. But he was good. I like him.
I love it.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. No, Zeke, I thought, had a nice bounce back. And, like, he had 4 blocks himself. And that is the level that Denver's going to have to reach with him. It's not lost on me that garbage time, everybody was -3. Zeke ended up being a -3, which means that during the time of the game that really mattered, he was only a net neutral against this Wizards team. That's not a great sign. And Denver's got to find more ways to be positive in those minutes. Overall, like, I mean, the skill set is there for him to be impactful, where you switch and guard and defend and screen and offensive rebound and do those things. If he can do those things enough, then he will, like, he might even play in the playoffs. Like, I don't feel comfortable with it yet. And he's got to continue to show this over a bit more time, but he might have to play, and Denver might decide to go that route, which they kind of have to. He's locked in until 2028.
But yeah. I mean, this is like the, like, if Aaron Gordon gets in foul trouble, like, I think you go Zeke, and like, he's been really good since mid-February. I mean, really, like the last 4 games or so, I've really liked what Zeke's done. Just even little things, like, did he have any offensive fouls? I don't think he had any yesterday. I just felt like
his timing
and like calmness on offense. Again, you're like playing the Wizards, but he's like setting up. He's saying, oh, do I have a dribble handoff here? Nope, I don't. All right, we're just going to reset. Like, there's no reason to like try to create something out of nothing or throw my body into a guy to try to get an angle for another guy coming off a teammate, like, or off my handoff and screen. Like, he was just really, he just looked kind of poised, which was good. I think that's the biggest thing for him, is just reading the flow of the game, staying calm and being like, all right, we're going to just read the next play. And it's hard. Like, man, like, I remember talking to him before the season and he said, look, like, I've been trying to like watch film of Nikola and like learn how to be that handoff hub, which I think is cool. I think it makes sense. Like, if the shooting is not going to be like the thing that's featured for him as like a pick and pop guy, like, you are going to have to figure out what he's going to be. And if that's it, great, but that's hard to learn. That's really hard to just be like, all right, I'm going to become Nikola Jokic now and be like a five-out like handoff guy. It's like hard to do, but I thought yesterday was really one of his best performances doing that. It may seem really easy, like, oh, you're just handing the ball off to somebody, but it's hard. You got to like position your body and make sure you're creating advantage for the guy coming off the handoff. And I thought it was really good. It takes a lot of poise, and that's what I felt like he did a really good job of yesterday.
What do you think of the lineup, by the way, before we go to a break? What do you think of the lineup? Murray, Christian Brown, Michael Porter, Peyton Watson, Zeke Nnaji that they kind of deployed last night. There's a couple times where they had Reggie as the stagger instead of Mike. But I think the one with Mike out there was a bit more natural.
I like it. I like pairing Mike and Jamal. I like it. I like when they combine those two in actions. I like it when they have him spaced one pass away. I like it a lot. I that's the one I've always kind of like, even when I first got here, I didn't know anything. It's like my third game. I'm like, well, they should pair, Jamal and Michael Porter together because it's really good on cleaning the glass. I've like never watched this, but like I've been on it.
So, yeah. You fucking solved the Nuggets, dude. Thanks. Yeah.
The one game. All right, dude. Yeah. I have a cleaning the glass subscription, so I'm going to figure out our playoff rotations. Yeah. But no, I've liked it. So I like when those guys come together. I am. I know. That's why you didn't like me when I first came here.
Oh my God. I love it. No, it made a lot of sense then. And I think it's one of those things that Denver's going to have to go to that in the playoffs. I think one of the things that you're starting to realize is that the Reggie Murray duo with the bench and kind of with the configuration of guys that they have, it's probably just not going to work over a prolonged period of time. So Denver's going to have to adjust, and they're going to have to mix and match a couple starters. And it may not have to be Aaron Gordon all the time. Like, maybe the answer is to go with a Mike and Jamal lineup that has a little bit more spacing and offensive punch, as opposed to a defensive lineup that has Aaron Gordon out there. Because like with Bruce Brown, they were able to kind of get away with it because the defense was so good. I'm not sure the defense is going to be that good this time around, but if you throw out Mike out there instead, a Jamal and Mike lineup should be able to score against most configurations.
Yeah, agreed. And I think you can, the tricky thing is just figuring out what that other spacer looks like. I think you do. I want to get to another spacer in there. Is that KCP, Justin Holiday? I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. I think lineups will be key for those two guys because you want to give them space to do stuff. Although Mike can hit contested shots and so can Jamal, but this is your corner. I always trust you with lineups. I'm like, he looks at this stuff every single game. He's gonna ask me a question, I'll answer, and then he'll give like a way better answer because this is your corner right here with the rotations.
Well, I mean, here's something fascinating to think about, by the way. Peyton Watson's now attempting more threes per game than Christian Brown. Christian's at 36.3% on 1.8 per game. Peyton Watson's at 34.2% on 2.1 3-point attempts per game, and they're basically about the same minutes. So it's interesting to think about. Neither of them are really spacers, but if one of them hits a couple threes, you're good enough. Like it's just going to be fine, especially with Murray and Porter. So I think Denver's they've got a little bit more flexibility than I thought if they have those guys there, especially because Jokic has done such a great job of propping up all the other lineups. So
yeah, I love it'll be interesting Peyton, to see. The way he takes those shots. Well, it was the game against Memphis. Remember when they kind of like left him alone in the corner and he hit like, how many threes did he hit that game? Four or five? Like it was.
He hit like 4 out of 10 or something like that.
That's what you need. Because that's going to happen realistically in the playoffs. There will be a series where one or both of Christian and Peyton are left open. And I love that Peyton takes them, and I think that's key for Christian is taking those shots. He's been really good above the break the whole year, and little things like that play he had. I'm going to keep going back to it. That play where he gets run off the line on the when he's in the corner and he does that little like hop step and hook shot. Like those are the things you want to see from him going down the stretch.
I love it. It's going to be good. By the way, Peyton Watson shooting by month so far. October, he only played 4 games, so I'm not going to count that. November, he was 0%. December, he was 37.8%. January, he was at 29.5%. So definitely down. And then seven games in February, he's at 53.8% so far from three. That is interesting. He's going to be streaky. He's always going to be one of those guys that's streaky, yep. But still fascinated to see what version of Peyton you're going to get from a spacing perspective. Going to be fascinating to see where he grows. Okay, but we have to take a break. We've ignored Nicola for long enough. So let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat about the MVP and then doing some crazy stuff, because there's an opportunity here for him to potentially win a third MVP this year. And like, I think it's actually very, very strong. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. Really appreciate everybody for checking out Superbook over the course of these last few weeks as we've continued to push them. You can win some money this season with Superbook, the most trusted name in sports gambling, with a direct line to Las Vegas. And you can use their promo code MILEHIGH to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Now we're back. Pickaxe and Roll. Ryan Blackburn here, joined by my guy, Matt Brooks from Nuggets Digital. Done a great job over there. Make sure to go check out all of Matt's content that he puts out as you're putting together some film breakdowns. What do you think you've got on tap next that folks should be trying to check out that they're interested in?
Wow, what a good question. I actually usually for these questions, I'm like, I don't know, I'm doing a film breakdown, my 900th of the year. This time I do have something cool coming out. I talked with somebody in the front office about kind of the trade deadline and like what the plan was heading into that. So that is something I need to write today. It'll be what I do when I get off this. And that should be out the next couple of days. So I'm excited for that. I definitely, it was fun to sit down and talk about that. It's just a different topic. You know, we spend so much time talking about the nitty gritty details and what Christian Brown's doing in catch and go situations. It was cool to talk about. I also just learned a little bit about like the CBA and kind of what the challenges are with it. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. Long plug.
do you talk to Ben?
Tommy.
Okay. Oh, cool. That'll be a fun combo. Yeah. That's all. I'm sure it was convo. Everybody make sure to go check that out when it drops. Yeah. Matt does a great job. And like, it's more probably stats based than it is like, hey, here's a reporting like kind of thing or a conversation like article with somebody. So this is a new territory for my guy, Matt Brooks. So make sure to go check that out, everybody. All right. Nikola Jokic. He's pretty good. Nikola Jokic last night was incredible. Like just a lot of fun to watch him. And the first thing that I noticed like throughout the game was that he just looked like he was having a ball out there, just looked like he was having so much fun, and it wasn't anything stressful. He was making everything. He was making all these reads. He was throwing the ball the length of the court. The behind the back pass that he had to Aaron Gordon in like just reading out of a pick and roll and a slip was that's stupid. And he does that like, and that's just something that we now have to live with now.
Yep.
What's your fun Jokic take from last night?
His presser. I promise. Oh, yeah? The presser was like the highlight of for me. Dude, he talked about legacy.
Man. I couldn't
believe it.
Yes, he did.
I've never heard him do that. It was great. Yeah. He was talking about, yeah, this is something cool. Cause you know, like, yeah, I figured Nikola doesn't like to talk about his stats. He wants to talk about the team and everybody else on it. But I don't remember what the question was, but he was asked about the triple double. And he said, this is a cool thing I'm going to get to look at the end of my career. I almost fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe it. It was a fun presser, which was like really cool to hear him talk about that. The game was awesome. I mean, it was just a perfect shooting from the field. He's making passes. He had the opportunity. He almost got the triple double first half, which would have been absolutely wild. He knew that this was a thing going into the game. And I don't know. I don't think he was like, he's playing within the flow of the game, but it certainly felt like he knew it. And he was, you know, kind of, there were a bunch of opportunities. There was that play where Aaron was under the rim and he kicked out to the corner. That could have been it right there. So, but to me, yeah, it was cool to hear him talk about legacy. It was really cool for me.
It's wild. He's not somebody that usually does that, obviously. And whenever he says something like that, you pay attention a little bit because some things mean a little bit more to him than others. And I think that the triple double especially is something, it's like a nice representation of, hey, I impact the game as much as I can in every way that I can. Because he said that before, right? Like he said it before where the triple double itself, and then like he takes pride in being able to impact the game in so many ways, and like just whatever the team needs from him, he's able to do or he's able to try. That kind of started from, hey, I'm gonna dribble the ball up the floor, or hey, I'm going to go into the post and I'm gonna be a post passer, or I'm going to run some pick and roll now because hey, we don't have as many healthy guards anymore. Then to the point where you're just kind of putting the burden of the world on your shoulders, and he's willing to do that. And like, this is one of those stats that's like he's been so amazing at that every single night, and this one I think meant even more just because you get the triple double against every team in the NBA joining LeBron and Russell Westbrook. Those guys obviously modern day legends in terms of their ability to impact in all areas. And then I looked this up, actually. This was the 16th perfect triple-double in NBA history in terms of points, rebounds, and assists. 16 total times. Jokic now has 4. Wilt Chamberlain has 3. Draymond Green has 2. Yeah, and there are 7 other guys that did
TJ McConnell. TJ McConnell is.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Look at you. Oh, Michael Malone that.
Oh my God, it's Michael Malone's favorite player.
yeah, it's crazy.
It's just a wild, wild level of impact. What can you say about like when Jokic does these historical things, how do you evaluate it? Because there are so many times where he will put up a historical stat. How do you process it? Kind of how does that go in your head?
Not enough. He'll finish with like, I think Christian was talking about that last night, how he'll like go 15 of 17 from the field and I'll be writing up my recap and I'll be like typing up, okay, well, Nikola shot this. And then there's certain times where I think about that and I'm like, dude, this guy just played like 30, whatever, like mid-30s minutes, and missed two shots on like hard shots. He's posting up. Like, these are not like he's, you know, an alley-oop center. Like, it's, I don't know. I don't think I think about it enough. I think it's impossible almost to not be sensitized to greatness a little bit. But it really is incredible what he's able to do. He leads the NBA in post touches, elbow touches, and he's touching the ball constantly. He is so much of the offense goes through him. And for him to remain that freaking efficient is unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, a perfect triple double. I think his 9th or 10th shot is that catch he gets probably a couple feet in front of the free throw line. Spins, layup through three defenders. He's so good, man. He's just so good. I've tweeted like 400 versions of he's really good, huh?
Right. I've officially started calling him triple double man. And like, I know like Milwaukee Bucks fans and then like some other fan bases, like Philly fans, will definitely say that in a more demeaning light, where these guys are not necessarily like trying, they're going against just what he has accomplished and trying to make light of it. I say it from like a place of endearment, where like he is like as likely to have a triple double as anybody in the NBA in NBA history with the pace that he's currently on. And like where Russell Westbrook was at this point in his career was not close really to where Jokic is right now. Somebody like Luka will probably break the triple double record in some odd years. Like that'll probably happen. But for this moment in time, like, Jokic is going to break, like, unless something crazy happens. Like, Russell Westbrook, I think, between regular season and postseason, has 210 triple doubles. I think Jokic has 138, if I'm not mistaken. That thing's coming down. Like, that is not staying, like, in Russell Westbrook's hands. Like, yeah. Jokic will accumulate that if he plays any level of, like, minutes for the next 5 years. Like, it is going to happen. And if he were to achieve that, at least for a time, like, it is just one of those things that, like, sets him apart as one of the most impactful superstars in all categories that we have ever seen.
I've never understood why people like count that against him. Okay, he can affect the game in three like of the main categories. I would say
they're pretty important categories, by the way.
They're really
like
important.
That's
I don't get it.
I don't understand it. Like,
it's so important. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of, there was a game maybe against Boston. There's a game where he had like, I don't know how many boards. There's a couple. I wish I had this on hand right now, but it was like he wasn't scoring. Like, the scoring wasn't going for him, so he just goes, all right, cool, I'm just gonna grab every single offensive rebound. It was a couple of months ago. I wish I knew which one it was. Right. So if you give me a second on StatMuse, I can pull it up. But it is truly remarkable, like, the way he can affect a game. It just depending on what the game needs. And a lot of times the game needs him to do all three things. They need him to rebound, they need him to pass, and they need him to score. But to me, it just shows you, like, this, the greatness of Nikola Jokic is his consistency, but it's also his ability to read, like, what that day is calling for, what the story or what the need for that, for his team is that day. And he's going to go do that. I mean, I think it comes out in triple doubles. Like, that's a good thing.
It's certainly not a bad thing. 100 touches per game for him right now. 92.7 for Domantas Sabonis is the next closest. Luka's at 92.4. So, like, those guys touch the ball. There's no doubt about it. Jokic is now kind of creeping up the time of possession.
I was going to ask. Like, yeah.
He's actually he's at 4.7 minutes per game, I believe, which is just under Trey Jones and Malcolm Brogdon. So, like, really, really scraping the top of the barrel there in terms of, like, how much minutes he's taking away from the rest of the guys for them to shine. But I do want to finish kind of with this on Jokic. MVP race has been very contentious in recent years going against Joel Embiid. Embiid's obviously not eligible for that this year with the games played requirements, but three other guys have kind of taken his place in terms of, hey, you could make an argument for these three guys in place of Jokic. SGA, Luka Doncic, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think that all three of those guys are incredible in their own rights, but right now I would have Jokic at the top because of the way that he impacts the game in so many ways at the center position while captaining the defense. Like, I think it's fair, and everybody, like, nobody's going to be really super critical if it's Jokic who wins the MVP. But just want to get your thoughts on, if one of those other guys were to win, would you be, like, offended if you were a Nuggets fan?
I would, depends where the Mavs finish. I know standings don't matter and they're playing better. They got to climb like four games in 26 games now. It's pretty hard to do. It's not a lot of time to do that.
Yeah.
I think the guy I'd feel the best about is probably SGA. I think Pollard, SGA would be my two where I'm like, all right, I feel like these two guys are like a level up. And then it's probably Luka. And then Giannis has been like, he's had a career year in terms of like his efficiency and stuff like that. There's just too much going on with that team for me. And I know like a lot of that is out of his control, like the Dame year. But it's like at a certain point, like this is a team that like, yeah, like, dude, everybody was saying, oh, that's the team. I'm pretty sure I was one of the people that was like, I'd have to think back. I think I was. I think I was a Milwaukee over Boston guy at the beginning of the year, and it's just been kind of like a ho-hum year. They're playing fine. Like, Giannis has been good, but I don't know. I mean, it is kind of a narrative award, and like, boy, has the narrative been like positive about Milwaukee this year? Because it does not feel like it's been that way for more than like 3 minutes.
It's also okay to be critical when they've been 3-7 in their last 10 games, and I think that Giannis has played every single one of those games. So like,
yeah, and he's been
this
awesome.
Is not a crazy thing.
Yeah. He's been awesome. Like, a lot of it's out of his control, but it's still just like really weird. It would be weird for me to reward somebody like a player on a team that's had that much going on outside of it. So I don't know. That's how I'd look at it. But yeah, those two, I think SGA and Nikola, like those are the two guys I'd be like, that seems like the top tier to me.
I think it's fair, and I've argued back and forth on SGA. I think that within his role, which is like, he's not even really like, he is a primary scorer. There's no doubt about it. He's not quite the point guard that I think Jokic is in terms of, hey, you're the leading playmaker. You're driving the offense for the rest of the team. So often their system is set up for several creators working in concert with each other because of the five out system that they play. And that's all well and good. And like, but it is sort of, I think it kind of takes away from SGA's individual awesomeness, though his defense has been great and he is still averaging like 30-31 a game. So like, it's hard to take away from it too much because he's like, even as a guard, he's shooting like what, 54-55% from the field, which is just, that's a rarity.
And he's driving, like, by far leading the league in drives. His shot profile is pretty difficult. It's like turnarounds and layups where he's getting around like three defenders. He to me is like the reason I have him and Nikola in this like upper tier is just like the difficulty, but the consistency. It's like every time I check the Thunder's box score, it's like, okay, SGA had 32 on like 56% shooting. Like it's every single time I check that. And I don't know. I trust that people are like watching the league more nationally than me. I'm very locked in on the Nuggets. That's who I watch, who I work for. I'm sure they're going to make the right decision with all this, but yeah, whenever I see those two, Nikola and SGA, it's like such impressive how consistent they are. I don't know how else to say it.
Oh, it's fair. Like those guys are, especially with where the expectations were for SGA, I don't think I would be offended if I were to watch SGA win an MVP. I would just know that Jokic is the better player, which is where I kind of come down to that. Like,
yes,
it would be kind of like one of those LeBron MVPs where like, okay, you could definitely give it to LeBron, but this other guy might be having a slightly better individual season within the concept of kind of where they are. I'm also kind of at that stage where SGA will have plenty of other opportunities to win MVP, but this is the opportunity for Jokic to win his third. And like, I don't know how to balance that out because like, I think that SGA and the Thunder are going to win like 60 games next year. Like they're on the upward trajectory, and like there will be plenty of opportunities to credit him. People, if they're trying to fight to take it away from Jokic, that'd be a little bit weird because like he's still probably the best player, and like if you're basically have the same record, then like I don't think you should be fighting that hard to sort of move it away from him. But it is what it is. That is the last thing I will say about it. Any final thoughts on MVP?
No, I think it's funny. Last year it was like the narrative was all, you can't give Nikola his third MVP. Look at the class that puts him in. And now I'm like, hey man, if Nikola finishes his career with two MVPs, we're going to do the thing where we look back and we go, why didn't he have an MVP? That, like, I know it's going to happen because we do it with every great player. He should have three MVPs. Like, he's Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. I think he can get there. Like, I think he can get into pretty, if he continues at the pace he's going at and continues to play the way he is, I think he will be in that top 10-ish player ever, which I didn't know before I came here. And now watching him, I'm like, this feels like the right thing to do. I think that's where he's going to end up, but...
There's that interesting part of legacy. So that should be that'll be a fascinating thing. If he finished with three or four MVPs, maybe two or three finals MVPs, led the entire NBA in triple doubles for his career, like there is a definite kind of a stacking of a case that you're really putting there, where you're probably talking about a top 10 player of all time, which is like, I mean, it might even be higher than that. Who knows? So we'll have to navigate that when it comes. But either way, let's take one more break. When we come back, we are going to sort of wrap up with. I want to get a couple takes on the final 26 games and just some stuff that Michael Malone has talked about, and then we'll talk about tonight's game versus the Blazers real quick.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. It can be used on hard, non-porous surfaces like the kitchen, bathroom, and other areas in your home. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, final segment here. Let's chat about just kind of things for the final 26 games. Denver obviously 1-0 in the post All-Star break stretch here. One thing that we didn't mention, KCP goes out with a finger sprain from yesterday. We actually didn't get any clarity from Michael Malone on whether that was the same finger or not. I asked him, how's KCP doing? And He's like, oh yeah, he's fine. We'll chat with him in just a little bit. So I can't imagine that it's that serious. Like, they probably did x-rays. They probably, like, I don't think they did an MRI or anything like that, but we would have heard if it was more serious. Denver needs to be healthy, but they also need to get some like reps with these different combos and different lineups and things like that. So I hope that KCP isn't out for any prolonged period of time, because they need him, and they actually kind of need him to get back on track a little bit. He's down to 37% from three, 37.3, which is kind of no longer in that elite tier. And that's one of the things where, if you talk about the margins for where Denver's offense is right now, like, they could use KCP getting fully back on track.
Yeah, I wonder how much that was the hammy. I mean, he's one of those guys he'll never say, because he's like, he'll be like, no, it's fine, I'm just playing through it. But yeah, I think getting him on there, like the first 55 games, I feel like there was a little, well, first off, you didn't have Jamal for a good portion. And then you used a little bit more to experiment, try different lineups. Now I like your point. I think you use these last 26 games to like simulate a little bit of your playoff rotations. And that means you got to have all your guys there. So I definitely think, I think that's a really salient point, just about, it's good. You need to get him back. What is it? Pinky finger? One of those? Do we know which finger it was?
It was the right pinky finger. Now yeah. I assume it's the same one, but I don't know. We never got the clarification there.
We will get it at what, 2:30? I think that's probably when the injury report comes out.
Probably something like that. That seems like a good point.
Good guess. but we'll get clarity. But those can hurt a little bit. Just the jamming those, I think, can hurt quite a bit. So it'd be nice to get him on and get him fully back. He was a little, I don't remember, he did it pretty early, right? Because it was like that first couple possessions, and I think it was Kuzma who tried to dribble through him and Jamal, and he like got in for the steal, and I think I tweeted it out, and then you quote tweeted me actually. How I was like, his energy looks great, and you're like, ooh, it looks like he tweaked his finger. So I think it would be good to get him back fully healthy. That'll be the key trend, I think, for these last 26.
Certainly would be nice. Certainly would be good. Quick point on his splits, his shooting splits by month. I did this for Peyton earlier. October, he shot 41%. November, he shot 41%. December, he shot 44%. January, he's down to 29.9%. And then February, in four games, he was at 27.3%. So a little bit of a dip. Not necessarily. I mean, I guess you could call it a slump too, because like it is below 30% at that point. So ever since the new year, actually, let's do that instead. Let's go to his game logs and just track ever since the new year actually hit. He is shooting 29.5% from three. So look, that's a big deal. Like, you need him to be at tip-top shape by the time the playoffs roll around. Do I have any worries about him? No. But it's just something that I'll be watching for certain lineups that Denver's going to have to play.
And he had a quiet March last year. I remember coming – that was like when I first started working for the Nuggets. He was he was at 25% from three in March. And then he heads into the first round. It's 36%, then 41%. Against the Suns, 44% against the Lakers. So it continued to trend up as kind of the playoffs went. So I wouldn't worry about it as much. I just think the biggest thing is just like his health will be the big thing.
Great point, Matt Brooks. Great point to keep adding in those playoff numbers as well. That is a good thing for Denver, I think. Okay, final couple things here. I know we've gone pretty long here. Michael Malone, over the course of these last couple days, ever since the All-Star break kind of ended, he's talked about Denver's goals and he's talked about seeding. He's talked about, oh man, it's less about seeding. It's less about getting a top one or two seed. And it's more about how they play. It's more about getting fully healthy. It's more about the, like, just what you're seeing from the team at those points and how he feels about the team at those points. First of all, just, do you have any reaction to that and where, like, what Denver's priority should be? Is he right about that? Is that like, that's that the right call?
I think he's right that health is the number one thing. I I think he's like technically he's right. Like you do want
sure
health number one, right? But I also would say you want a number one seed. He said that. He said, I want that and I want health, but I just want health more, which is fair. The players were the ones that were like, I think every single one of the guys that we got this last week, aside during practice, I mean, aside from Mike, who was a really quick interview, every other guy said, we want the one seed. Like, we want the one seed. So I think that is something the team wants. I don't think that there's like this sense of in the locker room, they're like, we don't really care what seeding we get. No, I think they've understood the whole year. Like, we went into the playoffs last year. We had home court advantage in every series, and we realistically could have won every home game. Like, game two against the Heat, I think we all can agree, was like not the finest basketball game
that
we've
was
ever won.
That was the worst game that they played all playoffs, and there's like no question about it. They were disgusting level of execution.
No, and they called it out. Jeff Green was like this did not, like, that was not it. Like, and the players, like, you never ever see that happen during the playoffs, where a guy comes on a press and he goes, like, our effort wasn't good enough. So realistically, they could have gone undefeated at home in the playoffs last year. It matters. Home court advantage obviously matters in the playoffs. It matters when you play in altitude. It does. So I think they understand that. I don't think it's like this, the team doesn't care about getting the one seed. I did think it was interesting messaging, just that you got kind of different ones from the guys at practice and Malone kind of saying, hey, we want health number one. So I get everybody's point, is kind of my long-winded way of saying it. I would just say, yes, you want to get a top seed. Like, if you can get a one or two seed, that's a huge, huge deal versus, like, if you're a three or four seed. Because then you're going to be on the road in the second round. And the top four teams are good, like, good this year. So you want to try to get home court advantage for especially that second round, if not all three rounds. That'd be ideal.
It would be nice. And then, like, I think it was Matt Moore who made the point on a recent Locked On Nuggets episode that I listened to, that, like, even if you're getting the three seed, that's better than getting the four seed, because hypothetically, mm-hmm. if one plays four and three plays two, and then three and four end up advancing to the Western Conference Finals, then as the three seed, you get home court advantage in that environment. And that's one of those ones where you at least control your own destiny in that regard, and you only have to go on the road for one, maybe two series for the entire playoff run. So that would be great.
And that's, I think, where you control your own really destiny good. A little bit. I think the five seed is really good this year. Like, I think your five seed is the team that gets hot late, whether that's Dallas right now or maybe Phoenix gets it going. Like, that team, I think, is really, really, really good. Like, an abnormally good five seed is, I think, what you're looking at.
Yeah, and whoever kind of rises to the top there, that's going to be something that obviously you match up with. Now, right now it's New Orleans, but New Orleans has also won their last four games in a row and is 8-2 in their last 10. So, like, and Dallas has won seven in a row and is 8-2 in their last 10 at the sixth seed. So I don't know if you're getting any breaks from anybody. Like, it is at that point. And that's also one thing that Nikola Jokic said last night in his presser. It's like, hey, nobody wants to face the Warriors or the Lakers in the first round. Nobody wants that. So that was an interesting admission. That was an interesting little take there.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, it was a good presser. Talk about the All-Star break. He was really honest about being like, dude, I'm pretty tired, man. But it's so funny. Like, he says that. It's like the last guy on the planet you worry about being tired. It's like, this is Nikola tired from All-Star break, and he just walks into 21, 18.
Motherfucker had a perfect triple double. <Right. laughs>
So, okay. Yeah, man. But I like that point. I, no matter what, I think there's going to be the first round in the West is going to be just terrific. I mean, just from a basketball fan perspective, there's just going to be a good game every single night, which will be fun. Be really fun to watch.
What do you need to see going forward to feel good about how they play? Because we talked about, okay, seeding is one of those things that's, like, you don't necessarily worry about that. You just worry about getting healthy. But they talked about they want to play a good style, like their style of basketball going into the playoffs. So what does that look like? What are you looking at for those moments?
Rotations for sure. I think you want to try to get those staggers a little bit more crystallized for what you want to do. Like, obviously, in an ideal world, you play everybody next to Nikola and everybody's good, but that's not what's going to happen. So you do need to find those 2-3 man combinations. I have talked about the transition offense. It was good yesterday, right? I think they did they outscore them in fast break points. I want to say they did. Yes, they outscored Washington 30-22, which is nice. You haven't seen that a lot this year, but I think that would be the big one. Pretty big drop off this year from last year. They were top four this year. I think they're, if not last, they're one of the last couple teams in the league in terms of transition efficiency. So that'd be the big one. But at the same time, like, it hasn't really, like, that fall off in transition hasn't hurt their overall numbers that much. They're maybe scoring 1 point less per 100 possessions, which is because their half court, the offense is better. So, but I think what made Denver so lethal last year was that they could just kind of, it was like death by a thousand cuts. Like they can hurt you in the fast break. They can hurt you in the half court. So I think as a team whose identity is largely offense, they obviously have a gear on defense that we've seen and they turn that up. But a team whose identity is the offense, you want to see them pretty balanced on all types of, types of scoring.
I think it's fair. It's one of those things where that was the sort of detractor from the offensive rating this year. It's like it would be nice to see that kind of bounce back in the right direction. I talked about that yesterday or Wednesday, just as a level of more precision and understanding of how they have to play heading into a playoffs, the details and ironing those things out. Like I think you're exactly right about that. No, it's interesting to think about, and I think that's a salient point. So are there any players specifically that you have your eye on down the stretch more than any others?
Christian, but that's because I'm a huge victim of recency bias. But no, I do think Christian is a big one. You want to try to get him going offensively. And I think if he's feeling in rhythm offensively, you're going to get the Christian Brown that we got in last year's regular season and playoffs defensively. He's been good this year defensively. I do think, he's by his own admission, he hasn't been to his standards defensively. So I think that would be the big one for me. Other guys, it'd be nice to see Reggie he doesn't need to play like exactly like he did in November, but like a little surge late heading into the season or end of the season. I think that would be nice. He's a guy that like, if he's really in a groove, he could make a difference in a couple playoff games because he's a guy that gets hot. I mean, like, dude, that stuff matters. And they didn't really have that guy last year, which has its pluses and minuses. Bruce, I think, was a lot more of like a consistent 10 to 12 guy. Like, there might be a game where Reggie goes off for 18 or something like that. That can swing a game. But those are probably the two guys I'm watching. And I think I even told you yesterday before the game, like, Reggie's my number one candidate to see, like, is this the guy who the All-Star break seems to make the biggest difference for? Who shows the most spring in their legs after having a week off?
Reggie's a good candidate, and like he was skipping a little bit around. He's feeling pretty good. Obviously didn't shoot well at the beginning of the game, but he made his last three shots, and I thought his reads mostly were really good. It was just kind of missing. So look, it is what it is. We'll figure out just how it goes. I'd throw in Michael Porter in there as well.
Yep.
Not necessarily for anything bad that he's done, but just like, he is such a bellwether in a lot of ways for, hey, if he plays well, if he's shooting well, then like it's basically over for the opposition. So would like to see him have a month where he's shooting like 45% from three. That would be cool. And so if that happens, then that sort of changes the calculus for Denver and for their offense. So it would be nice to see him get back on track in that regard. But man, I don't think I have much else. We've gone pretty long here. You're a rock star for doing this immediately after doing a Spaces. And I know you've got plenty of other stuff on the docket as well.
Yeah, I'm chatty today. Sorry if I went going a little
no, it's
tangential
okay.
Today. I guess that's what podcasting is, right? It's just an hour of tangents. I appreciate you for having me on. I'm always down to do this. And good to catch up with you. It's been fun to like have a full season together. I feel like I've gotten to know you a lot better. And it's been fun, man. So I really enjoy doing this.
You're a rock star. You're doing great work for Nuggets Digital, man. It's always fun to check out the work, and everybody else should make sure to check out Matt's work over at nuggets.com. It's a wonderful way to sort of connect with the team and in the way, like get a slightly inside perspective on where things are going, and then just kind of you get some fun interviews like a Tommy Balchettis. That'll be a fun one for that to come out over the course of these next couple of days. So everybody, make sure to be on the lookout from that work for Matt, and make sure to give him some appreciation on the Twitter X side as well. So he's doing great work. We didn't even talk about the game tonight. Do you have any predictions?
I think they win, right? Is that what you want? I think they win. I don't know. They're rested. They go to Portland. I get it's a back-to-back. I think they win. I don't know. And then Sunday will be fun. They really they seem to play really hard against Golden State. So I feel good about coming out of the break. I know it's a 3-4, but they just looked rested yesterday. Got a little bit of rest in the fourth quarter. So I feel good about tonight. I don't know about you.
We'll see. I'm sure this is going to be one where Portland probably covers. I'm not sure what it's actually going to look like, but Portland is going, like, they're coming out of the All-Star break. They're going to have a slightly larger amount of motivation, I think, than Washington did. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm looking forward to it. Everybody, make sure you go follow Matt at Matt Brooks NBA on the Twitter side of things. We are done here on this one. Everybody, make sure also to go like and subscribe to the video. Oh, and good Lord, I forgot to promo this. These shirts, these beautiful shirts, these bad boys are sick. From my guy Anilo, he's been doing great work on the design side, on the back end of things. If you want to go support your boy Nicola and support your boy Ryan on the MHS side of things, get one of these. The link is down in the description. They are sick and they are comfortable too. They're made of some pretty good cotton material, so make sure to go look for that. Matt, thank you so much for hopping in, man. You're a rock star, and I'm looking forward to doing this again if you'd be so willing.
Dude, hit me up anytime. I'm around for real. This is fun.
Maybe we'll do something in studio. That seems like something
talk
we could
about that.
We could say.
Yeah, I'll be down. Get me out of the house. I feel like I'm only at my apartment or Ball Arena right now. So I'm down. Let's do it.
You'll love to see it. All right, everybody, hit that like button on the way out. We will talk to you guys very soon.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.